"Let me just run this by my lawyer" is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists, like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Bissell Pluma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, and Two Door Cinema Club.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
Hey, Ken, did you know that gold is the only currency that's held its value since the dawn of money?
Well, I did. Thanks to our friends at Legacy Precious Metals, the most trusted name in gold investing.
Investing in gold protects you against inflation and gives you a hedge against stock market volatility.
Don't leave your retirement to chance. Call Legacy Precious Metals today at 866-691-2173.
Or download your free investor's guide now at buylegacygold.com. That's buylegacygold.com.
Sticky notes, email alerts, a string around your finger. They're just not big enough.
So here's a big reminder from the California Lottery. Tonight's Mega Millions jackpot is over 175 million. Whew. Play now. Please play responsibly. Must be 18 years or older to purchase player client.
All right, in 15 minutes, the final keyword of the day will be revealed here on the John and Ken Show. For a shot at $1,000, you just enter it at the website, KFIAM640.com. We're going to have a chance to talk to a man by the name of Steve Paul this hour. He's the father of one of the people that was shot by the 7-Eleven robber. That man has killed two and wounded a couple of other people. That robbing spree that began early Monday morning. Ironically, the date was 7-Eleven. I don't know if that enters into this evil person's plan to do this, but that's what happened. The victim's name is Jason Harrell. His father, Steve Paul, will join us in about 30 minutes.
We have Steve Gregory here because she's back. Barbara Ferrer, the LA County...
The human drone.
LA County Health Director, still drunk on her power. And she wants another mask mandate soon.
That's right, guys. It's really good to be here today. I'm just getting used to this. I'm going to bring it back again.
Are these updates still on Zoom?
Yes.
They are, that's right.
Yeah,
and she wouldn't dare bring people together in a room, right?
No, and she wore a mask today by herself.
Oh, no.
She's in a room by herself?
In a room by herself, wearing a mask.
The room she hasn't left in 2.5 years.
I haven't dialed up that. What's funny is I haven't dialed into that for a while now. So our editors have been covering it because, there's been really no big developments until now. And so I dialed on today. You could have taken the update from 2 years ago
right. And
played yes. It, and it's the same thing.
Nice. Yeah, well, so. There's no new information about the virus itself.
Will we be like the only county in the country to go back to indoor masking?
Pretty much. Yeah. But remember, we're not the ones that we're not. And it's not a punishment now. Remember, we lead the way.
Right.
That's
right.
The way it's positioned.
We're the leaders.
That's a good
we're
point.
The innovators.
Okay. So we've got a hospital rate. And this stuff I read maybe a week ago. So I don't know how out of date it is. But our peak hospitalization lately is 1/8 of the peak hospitalization from 2 years ago. And 60% of the people hospitalized
are not there because they came there with COVID complications.
We're not admitted for COVID, but they did a blood test and they found out, you have it in addition to your big illness.
Here's Barbara Ferrer.
Currently, 5.4% of beds are occupied by COVID patients in LA County. This is an increase of 84% compared to 1 month ago.
5%.
As I've mentioned 5%. In past briefings, if we remain in the high COVID-19 community level for two consecutive weeks, that would be through July 28th, we would implement universal indoor masking on July 29th to help slow the rate of transmission and protect those most vulnerable.
But this is a new metric they've come up with.
Well, actually, this is the CDC metric. There's three metrics in which they use to determine which category we're in. And we've been in the medium category for a while. And what they do is it's the seven-day case rate, which we're at 370 per 100,000. There's the seven-day admission average right now. We're at 10.5 admissions in the hospital per 100,000. And the seven-day staffing versus patient metric. And we're at 5.4%, as you heard.
Okay, but this, like I said, it's low by COVID standards.
5% of the beds are COVID patients?
Mm-hmm. That means 95% aren't. So what is this?
It's still, and she says it's still a burden on the hospital system because other people are there for other things, and it's still cases of COVID that shouldn't be there.
We're not hearing that from the hospitals the way they were crying last year and the year before about being overwhelmed. This is crazy.
But she says we're well on our way to that spot.
We got 3,000 counties and 2,999 other counties. I'm sure there are hot spots around aren't imposing this mask rule. This is just abuse of power.
Well, we have 2 weeks to get our act together, Joe.
There's nothing we get our act together.
We have 2 weeks to get our act together.
Now, I heard her bemoan the fact, Steve, that people are not voluntarily wearing masks.
Right.
Indoors.
So, and this is because of you two here.
There's a lot of misinformation circulating about COVID, including that at this point, it only causes mild illness.
Well, then, wait a minute. Did you hear that?
It does.
A lot of misinformation, but listen.
Including that at this point, it only causes mild illness.
She still has that.
At this point,
a little sniff.
It only causes mild illness. Unfortunately, this isn't true. And COVID is still one of the leading causes of death in LA County.
All right. So what was the number today? Because I got the memo from them in terms of the deaths. So here it is, the press release. All right. So they reported 14 new deaths due to COVID-19 in LA County. Mm-hmm. You know, 14 people are going to die in any given day in LA County, or even more than that. I mean,
that's a low
at some
number.
Point, you have to look at these numbers. And I'm looking at the daily deaths from the last week. 14, 15, 14, 9, 12, 18, 18.
Well, and then the majority of those deaths, I don't know if it says in there, are coming from assisted care.
Oh, right. The elderly and people with underlying
conditions. Right, because
the
vaccines have worn off. The boosters have worn
Protect
off.
Protect those people more, then.
Yeah, that's up to the nursing homes.
That's what other states with sanity did, like Florida.
I don't go into nursing homes. There's no way I can hurt a nursing home resident, nor can they hurt me. So if most of the deaths are in nursing homes, this is back to the same problem at the beginning of the pandemic. It's just bad management inside those buildings.
I heard an interview with a Johns Hopkins professor, a doctor professor, and he said, both from a mental standpoint and a physiological standpoint, really the best thing for medical professionals or health departments to do is just strongly recommend you wear a face covering.
Yeah, that's what I heard too.
Yeah, and not, but imposing rules again like that is going to further push everyone over the cliff.
People hate this. They hate this. Yeah, I mean, the average person what I run into, everybody hates this. Everybody mocks it. They're not going to get much compliance this time around because the numbers don't support it either. There's nobody really walking around feeling fearful anymore.
John, you are part of the problem because you're spreading misinformation.
Well, every day I do see people wearing masks outdoors.
You know what?
It's not a high percentage.
Well,
Florida. I didn't see anybody.
I love the ones that are wearing them in the cars on the freeways.
Yeah, those people
driving themselves. Alone.
No, it's a mental patient test. If you're wearing one in a car on a freeway by yourself, cuckoo, cuckoo.
Well, I will tell you, I have been wearing one in the grocery store. When I go to the grocery store or places, large places like that, I find myself putting one on.
Oh, yeah? Just because it's a disgusting place?
I you know what? And then travel when I just got back from Colorado. I wore it on the plane and wore it in the airport.
Nah, I don't wear them anymore anyway.
I'm
just not afraid of any of this stuff.
Well, I am, because you're a little thinner than I am.
Wow.
Remember, my weight makes me an underlying health condition.
You are a walking
underlying health condition. So I have to be just a little more careful than you guys do.
All right, so we have 2 weeks to possibly not be in this stupid
situation. 2 weeks to get your act together, everybody.
All right, so she's thinking, well, the people volunteer.
By the way, which part of town is getting all the cases? Is it the same thing that's the east side of town?
You know what? I did not look that up, and she didn't say. But she steered directly from, you know, this overall thing again and the metrics and all that. And then as soon as she launches into the poverty, you know, the poverty metrics in the equity metrics and all that,
going back that
direction. Yeah, so I was just like, well.
Poverty that they never stop. It's like a religious cult. It really is a religious cult. And they go through the Stations of the Cross. They have to bow at the poverty altar and then the equity altar.
Yes,
God.
Well,
equity inclusion.
I asked the question one time. At what point do you wash your hands of this? Because how many times can you force people in underserved communities to get served? I mean, how far in do you go?
They should have been served by now.
Well, I was going to say, you're driving the van up to their parking, I mean, up to their driveway. You're getting out and walking in the house, and they say no. I mean, how much more are you going
to
do?
Yeah, they're not underserved.
Yeah.
They're getting concierge service right at their kitchen table.
Get away. So, I don't know. It's weird.
It's weird.
All right,
Steve, thank you very much. Steve Gregory, KFI News, on the Grimm update this afternoon from Dr. Grimm. Barbara Ferrer, the LA County Health Officer, that we may be going.
We're in hell. You know that? In hell, she's always on the TV screen, always telling people to put masks on. That's what hell is.
We cannot cancel this show as much as we try. All right, coming up next, the first thing you're going to hear is your chance at some money with the keyword.
John and Ken, KFI.
All right, don't go anywhere. Coming up after 5:30, we're talking to the father of one of the victims of the 7-Eleven robbery crime spree that left two dead and several wounded. Coming up will be Jason Harrell Sr.'s father. Jason Harrell was shot at the 7-Eleven in Riverside in the early morning hours on Monday and has got a severe injury after being shot in the head at close range. Find out more, and you can also donate. We have the fundraiser link on our website. It's a GoFundMe at KFIAM640.com. The John and Ken page. Hunter Biden's always in the news. I mean, you could probably find a story every single day. And of course, this was fueled notoriously by him leaving his laptop at a repair shop in Delaware, never coming back for it. So the guy that was supposed to repair the laptop eventually just turned it over. And most of the media, the mainstream media, was skeptical that it was not fake news, but it was actually Hunter Biden's laptop. And that was aided more recently by the fact that apparently he backed up his cell phone on the laptop. So they've been able to get a hold of texts and voicemails that Hunter Biden made in the last several years. The newest update, though, comes more locally. You may not know this, but Hunter Biden for some time lived in Venice. Now he lives in Malibu. And that's the subject of this story, because he did eventually pack up his family and move from Venice to Malibu. And this story says his former neighbors are furious because, you see, when Hunter Biden lives in your neighborhood, the Secret Service lives there, too, because they have to protect the son of the president.
And they chase the homeless out.
That's the bottom line. He lived in a 4-bedroom, 3,000-square-foot home that supposedly cost $25,000 a month to rent. Came with 24-hour protection from the Secret Service.
We are paying tax money to protect that crack addict.
Yes.
Wow. What a great country.
Joe still loves them, I think.
I don't think he loved him very much when he was a little kid.
Maybe he doesn't know who he is anymore.
Looks like there was some neglect there.
His ex-neighbors in Venice say as soon as his security left, that was it. The vagrants came right back in. And the street now is full of tents, trash bags, blankets, fold-up chairs, and other items
that line
the sidewalks.
Isn't that galling? I mean, that's just the most gall. I can't imagine how furious people must be in this Venice neighborhood that they had a brief respite from the invasion of the lunatics, all the drug addicts, all the mentally ill. all the violence and degradation. They get a break only because Hunter Biden, who spent time as one of those people, remember?
He was living in a tent. Skid Row.
Here in L.A. on Skid Row, smoking crack. He was living in a tent.
For a time, that's where he ended up because of his addictions.
Right. But when he became eligible for Secret Service protection, I guess they got him out of the tent, put him up in a Venice home, and cleared all the other homeless people out.
He's a big businessman now, making all these deals with Chinese companies thanks to his dad's connections. The big guy, right?
Like, there's...
As I said before, prepare yourself, because if the Republicans take control of the House of Representatives, this is all they're going to do next year, is investigate Hunter Biden.
Yeah, but in Venice, all they care about is getting the homeless back out. And, of course, what is this? This is Mike Bonin's district. This is Bonin's fiasco. So Bonin helps arrange for the homeless to be cleared out when Hunter Biden is living on the block. And then as soon as Biden moves out, Bonin lets all the crazy people back in.
The quote from a Venice resident, I guess this story was originally in the Daily Mail. As homeowners in Venice, our neighbors have struggled with out-of-control homelessness that made our streets and neighborhoods unsafe. When Hunter moved into the neighborhood, the street was immediately cleared of the homeless. The minute he moved up to Malibu, his old street in Venice became a tent city. How is this fair to Venice homeowners? Now, I should tell you, the person behind that quote is a woman by the name of Ann McElhaney. She says, it just shows how the Bidens truly live a different life than the rest of us. But she and her husband are producing a comedic biography on the ups and downs of Hunter Biden. And I wonder if they were doing that before he moved in, or is that just a coincidence? It's called My Son Hunter.
I don't know.
It does not have a release date. And apparently it stars that Mandalorian actress that got dumped from the show, Gina Carano.
Maybe Hunter moving into the neighborhood inspired the idea.
Maybe it did. It seems like it can't be. Yeah, it can't be any more than a coincidence.
$25,000 a month.
Well, it's beachfront property. Apparently it costs $5.4 million, this Venice property.
Now he's in a six-bedroom Malibu mansion.
Yeah, I think that's even more rent. Imagine that, if it comes with an ocean view.
Oh, the Chinese pay well.
So do
the Ukrainians.
He's doing okay. Stop knocking him.
Stop knocking him.
Another resident of Venice, and I don't think this guy's doing a movie, Ricky Otterstrom, said, I see Hunter Biden's Secret Service parked out front of his house every morning when I walk to the beach to surf. They are there 24/7, which is a plus for us here in the Venice canals. We need the extra security considering the amount of crime we have. Interestingly, though, the homeless people who were living up along the street he now lives in are gone. But again, that's old news because supposedly now that he has moved his family up to Malibu, some of the homeless have come back.
Of course.
In fact, I saw another story that there's more tents popping up in Venice. And of course, that was the subject of much attention last year and the year before, when the L.A. County Sheriff, Alex Villanueva, got involved to help clean it up.
They're going to keep on coming from all the other 49 states. That's what's been going on. It's still going on.
There's something appealing about Venice, I guess, because it's beachfront and it's always had a hipster kind of...
Because it has a reputation that anything goes. And then all the publicity showing what was going on, the beach and the boardwalk and the surrounding neighborhoods, every one of these... crazy people saw it on their phones. They all have phones. They all can watch the news as well as any of us. And they do.
Come to the beach.
Right.
You'll be rewarded. And particularly if guys like Mike Bonin have their way, because they've decided that wherever you are squatting, we should get you housing there. Permanent, beautiful, supportive housing.
Yeah. Except they don't get housing. They just continue living in the tents on the streets, doing their drugs and terrorizing everybody. Nothing has changed. Everything's gotten worse. Other than Villanueva clearing up some of the high-profile encampments, everything is as bad as it always was. I guess the media has gotten bored with covering it. So it's kind of like become the Russia-Ukrainian war. Let the atrocities go on.
When we return, our guest will be Steve Paul. Reached out to us. He is the father of one of the 7-Eleven victims, that robbery spree that happened early Monday morning at a number of 7-Elevens throughout Southern California, from Riverside to Santa Ana. His son, Jason Harrell, was shot at a 7-Eleven in Riverside and apparently has pretty serious injuries. His father's going to talk about him, talk about the ordeal, and talk about his son's recovery. There is a GoFundMe on our webpage if you want to help out.
John and Ken Show, KFI.
All right, as you know, the big news this week, and it's not good news, early Monday morning, we had a robber go on a spree at 7-Elevens in several different locations in Southern California. He killed two and wounded a couple of other people, including stores in La Habra, Brea, and Riverside. They believe it could be the same robber who struck in the northern San Fernando Valley at some smaller businesses like coffee donut shops and coffee shops and the like. 7-Eleven announced a $100,000 reward for information leading to the arrest of this person. And we heard from a man by the name of Steve Paul, who was the father of the man who was shot and wounded in Riverside, Jason Harrell. And he wants to come on the show and talk about the horrible ordeal and everything else.
Steve, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Welcome to the show. Thank you for coming on. And sorry to hear what happened to your son.
Thank you for that, and thank you for having me on.
Tell us about Jason's condition right now.
Well, Jason's condition is they've categorized it as grave. He's in the intensive care unit here in Riverside. And his right side is paralyzed because of the fact that he got shot in the back of the head on his left side. And they're just trying to get the swelling down in his head. He's still unconscious. He comes in and out, but there's not much recognition. He's squeezing our hand with his left side. And it's just a big mess.
Why was he at the 7-Eleven?
Where he lives, his girl and his daughter were already asleep. This happened about 1:40 in the morning, and he decided just to walk down the street to the La Sierra 7-Eleven there on Norwood and La Sierra to get something to drink, maybe a pack of cigarettes. I'm not sure, but he he was either walking in or walking out when it happened. The video, I guess, shows it was just him, and, you know, it was like just some real malicious act. No reason for it.
So the guy,
right? So he just shot your son, just point blank, just like that.
Yep.
And there was no exchange. Was there an argument, a scuffle? Yeah,
I mean, your son's not a worker at the 7-Eleven. Was he trying to rob your son? Do we know?
No, and that's the funny thing. It's like he was either walking in or walking out on the video. The guy came right up behind him and shot him in the back of the head on the left side.
Wow.
He was just an innocent customer. That's what the detectives told us, you know, that's on the video. So we're just real concerned and, you know, taking it one day at a time. It only happened a couple of days ago, so we're just hoping and praying for the best.
So I guess it's way too early for the doctors to project how much he'll recover and how long it would take.
Well, they said the area that was hit pertains to speech and movement on his right-hand side, and they said he's going to be, you know, if he survives, he's going to be in therapy and, caretaker care for probably a very long time.
And the way you described it, he was shot at pretty close range, huh?
Yes, the bullet went through his skull. I guess it was about the size of a quarter, 50-cent piece. That is never going to grow back. What happened was that at that point, the bullet entered his brain and fragmented. So
was he ever concerned about, you know, crime in the area, particularly around that 7-Eleven? Did he ever express to you any concerns about something, you know, bad happening?
Well, you know, we're all afflicted with homeless people everywhere at all times of the day and night. But Jason was one of the most considerate, compassionate people you would ever meet. He had no enemies. He excelled in electric work and car repairs, and he went to culinary school. I mean, and everything that he learned, if there was somebody he could help them with any of those things he learned, he did.
What kind of work was he doing recently?
He's been doing construction and car repair.
And did you say he has a family?
Yes, my wife. He's got three children, two daughters and one son. His son is currently in the Marines over in Okinawa. He has been for a year. He came back on leave. He's here. His other daughter is a food server for a couple of restaurants. And his youngest daughter, she's in school. She's 7 years old.
Oh, that's really tough.
It is.
He was just literally in the wrong place at the wrong time.
And that's what everyone said. The first people that said that were the detectives, and they were so sorry, you know, because it was just, you know, unprovoked. And then, you know, we...
Yeah, this guy is just a complete madman. He's just shooting and killing people for the sport of it.
I didn't hear you. Could you repeat that?
No, he's a real madman. I mean, he's just shooting and killing people for the sport of it. It's not even as the result of a robbery or some kind of fight or resistance or some plan. It's just he sees somebody and he shoots them in the head. That's the whole crime there.
If you think about it, you go to a 7-Eleven store, they don't ever have more than maybe 200 or 300 in the register because they have to make their, you know, 30-minute deposits or whatever it is. And there's never enough money there to want to go in and rob the place.
Were there any witnesses, and who first came to your son's aid?
The paramedics did after the store owners called. And for some reason, I guess he might have put on a different pair of pants or something. He didn't have any ID with him, but he did have a cell phone. At that point, the investigators started looking up the numbers, and we were the number on his cell phone that was called the most. And they, you know, called and told us in that way.
Oh, that must have been terrible. This is a middle of the night call?
Yes.
Oh, that's the worst.
Here that it looks like, though, he's able to hear you right now.
Yeah, you know, it's really nice because as of yesterday late and then today, he will open his eyes and focus on certain things. He's focused on me. He's focused on his mom a lot. He's so strong, though. They've had to have a guy in there, you know, from the hospital. They have him restrained because he's trying to pull everything out, and it's just a big mess. So,
yeah.
We have some friends that started a what is that site?
GoFundMe.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Tell us.
Absolutely. We'll put it up on the website because this is going to be a lot of expenses with this kind of recovery.
We were told by everyone that, you know, this is what we should do. And our friends came and said, here, we're going to let you sponsor this. And here's the story. And it's up right now. I saw it today.
What's the title of the GoFundMe?
You go to GoFundMe.com and it's Riverside 7-Eleven shooting victim, 7-Eleven 2022.
Okay. Yeah, that's the day it happened.
Okay. I can't even believe it. It's just incredible.
Yeah,
you know, everybody in this town, we were born and raised here. You know, he went to school here, and he knows everybody. And he doesn't have one enemy. We've never heard of any bullying. All we've seen is people that are around him smiling, you know.
What is your general feeling just over what's going on in this whole state? Just with all the crime and all the homelessness here. I mean,
I believe it has to do with people that we stupidly elected. I believe it has to do with an inept governor that we have. And I think a lot of it has to do with all this woke nonsense and the district attorney getting recalled in San Francisco and hopefully the one in Los Angeles.
Yeah. We are sure that when they find this guy, we're going to find that he's been in and out of the jail system probably numerous times. And I can't wait to find out how he got out. Which of the propositions, which of the assembly bills, which of the new policies on granting parole allowed this guy to be free. And I can't believe he hasn't killed people in the past. I can't believe this is his first week of picking people off.
Well, the first week that he's gotten caught doing it on video is what we need to say. Yeah. It's a hard world we're in right now. Everything's changed quite a bit in the last 10 years, not necessarily for the better, but things are changing.
Well, I looked up GoFundMe on my computer here, and yeah, the title is Riverside 7-Eleven Shooting Victim on 7-Eleven 22, and it's for your son Jason Harrell, and
that's correct.
And so we're asking if you're listening right now, if you'd go to that GoFundMe site and make a donation, because as his dad Steve here said, the bullet went through the back of his head. He can't speak. He's paralyzed on one side, and it's going to be a long, long recovery. So if you could go to the GoFundMe.com and in the search box type in Riverside 7-Eleven shooting victim, and you'll see the page. And please be as generous as you can.
Could I say one more thing?
Yes.
There has been a reason I've listened to you guys for so many years. I did never expect it to be like this, but I wanted to thank you two personally.
Well, Steve, we appreciate
you're welcome.
That,
I'm sorry.
Our thoughts are with you right now and your family.
Sorry we had to meet this way, but we'll be there for you. If you or anybody in your family needs any further assistance, please call us, all right?
Thank you so much, you guys. I thank you.
All right, you're welcome.
All right, that's Steve Paul.
Right.
His son is Jason Harrell, and Jason Harrell was shot at the 7-Eleven in Riverside early Monday morning, just going there as a customer by this guy they're now looking for, and 7-Eleven's offering a $100,000 reward.
You can go to the KFI AM640.com site, the John and Ken page, and we already have this GoFundMe link up on the page. So you could
make
a shortcut. Yeah. John and Ken, KFI.
All right, just a quick reminder about that fundraiser on the website, KFIAM640.com. See if you can't help out this poor man that was shot at the 7-Eleven. We have some breaking bad news. The L.A. County election officials announced this afternoon they will have to verify the validity of all 715,833 signatures submitted in the effort to recall the L.A. County D.A. George Gascon. The reason for that is they did a random sample. They took a look at 35,793 signatures. That's the 5% sample. And they found only 27,983 valid. What that means is it fell below the threshold of 31,179 valid signatures required to certify the petition outright. Good news is it was above the 25,510 signature threshold, which would have just rejected everything.
So I
did the math. It's a 22% rejection rate. If that holds for the entire pile of signatures, this will not qualify for the ballot. Now, it could be this 5% sample was not in line with what the rest will show, the 95% remaining.
I wonder how they picked the 5% sample.
I couldn't tell you that. They sit there and just reach in and pull out 35,000. I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, the petitions come with a bunch of signatures on it. There's not just one on
each. Yeah, I know. I mean, it just depends, you know, what the locations are. I bet you some areas are a little more conscientious than others.
Yeah, they must have some sort of random method so it doesn't look like.
Probably might be more accurate than people walking up.
Yes.
So
they're saying that this process, they should have wrapped up by August 17th. That is checking now all the signatures, all 500 and, they have 715,833 signatures, and we have to get 566,857 to be valid to get this on the ballot, but the 5% sample was not a good one.
Still early. It sounds like it's going to be close. Petros Papadakis is here. He's in for Conway tonight.
Go Bears.
Go.
What's popping?
How are you?
Where's Ken?
Ken is...
I'm right here. Right
Okay, all right. He didn't want to talk about... I mean, I thought he'd react to my Cal thing.
He's...
The Pac-12 is done, Petros.
I know.
I'm not going to talk
about
it. Your stinky school caused it.
Well, Cal would have taken the offer, too. I mean, they just weren't offered.
But USC is bolting to what?
The Big Ten.
Relocating to Nebraska now, I guess.
Along with UCLA.
Yeah, that's the shortest trip, actually. They joined the Big Ten with UCLA, but it's a short step. There's probably not. Football makes too much money now
in
the college level. the revenue sports do, and it needs to get out from under the umbrella of the NCAA and Title IX and all of these things that have kind of held it back over the years, because they need to get to a spot where they're actually paying the players, because they're
right.
Hundreds of billions of dollars being made now.
Could they just all go independent and get out of the NCAA?
Yeah, yeah.
And
well, that's
their
that's,
own private leagues.
Yeah, they've headed in that direction already. I mean, that the college football playoff that they created is not that's not an NCAA trophy.
I see.
Right? They created like this committee out of nothing, and that was kind of the big alarm for the NCAA that they're losing power, which is why they've allowed people to bolt to different conferences, name, image, likeness, you know, all these different things. These dominoes have fallen right. really quickly.
Well, it's all falling apart.
It really is. And it's really sad. I mean, for those of us who got used to watching UCLA play Cal and, you know, USC take the field at Oregon and Washington and vice versa, it really is like a death. But college football is one of those things that's always changing.
Cal's going to end up in some stinky...
I'm worried about it,
conference.
Ken. Yeah, I'm also worried that they will use this as kind of a crutch to get away from playing big-time college football, which a lot
will.
Of people there have been trying to do for quite some time. Yeah. Right. They don't like the football program.
Yeah, they don't recruit.
It's too masculine.
Much too masculine.
Too much testosterone.
Oh, I was a football player at Cal, and it took me about a day and a half on campus to realize that wasn't cool. And not to tell it. It took me to see one guy in his underwear shimmy up the flagpole and light it on fire. Right by Sather Gate.
What do you got coming on tonight?
Well, they're going to make me do news. That's masks mandate.
You probably read, you track the news too.
I have to, because I live in the world.
You have opinions
sucks.
On everything, so.
I do, but my opinions probably don't work here. But Steve Gregg, I don't think I'll make it to Coast to Coast if I start giving my opinion. But Steve Gregory is going to be on to talk about all the stuff going on. And then we're going to have Alex on because he was with your boy Newsom, Alex from Channel 11.
Oh, Alex Michaelson.
Who was actually, he was at a USC event, and there was an explosion, and it almost blew his head off. It blinded him.
Really?
Yeah, Alex, poor guy. But he still likes USC.
Oh, I thought you meant Newsom.
No. His head is still intact.
Well, barely.
And then my dad might come on. He's got a jazz show. My dad's a jazz singer now. Yeah. Old broken down linebacker, and he sings at jazz clubs. So he's got a show we're going to promote, you know, for the older audience.
What are you implying?
Maybe we'll talk a little All-Star Game. My colleague Tim Cates is running around the building, and the All-Star Game hadn't been here for 40 years. And that's kind of a big deal, even though it's hard for me to get excited about it.
All right. Well, you're always excited. You're,
well, it's great to see you guys.
Yes. Petros.
Golden
In
Bears.
In for Conway. Yeah, Golden Bears.
All right. Mark Rotter has the news. KFI, KST, HD2, Los Angeles, Orange County, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. Hey, Ken, did you know that gold is the only currency that's held its value since the dawn of money?
Well, I did. Thanks to our friends at Legacy Precious Metals, the most trusted name in gold investing.
Investing in gold protects you against inflation and gives you a hedge against stock market volatility.
Don't leave your retirement to chance. Call Legacy Precious Metals today at 866-691-2173.
Or download your free investor's guide now at buylegacygold.com. That's buylegacygold.com.
Sticky notes, email alerts, a string around your finger. They're just not big enough.
So here's a big reminder from the California Lottery. Tonight's Mega Millions jackpot is over 175 million. Whew. Play now. Please play responsibly. Must be 18 years or older to purchase player client.
Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print, or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Bizzle Fuma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, and Two Door Cinema Club.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.